And we'll read from The Awakened Soul by Gibran. There is something in our life which is nobler and more supreme than fame, and this something is the great deed that invokes fame. We are all prisoners, but some of us are in cells with windows and some without. Okay. Brian's turn.
So I'm starting?
Sure.
Oh. Well, you know, one of the things I hope most of you realize at this time is truly the ancientness of this pathway. Believe me, it goes on beyond thousands of years, beyond recorded history. But even if you just look at the most recent recorded history over the last few thousand years, you can always trace back this movement of loving that we call the path of sound and light, where that action, when God wants to bring the souls home, back to the realms of spirit, is always here and available. It's a simple process, but been set up since the very beginning for the soul's return journey. A little while ago, probably about a year or two, I had an experience where just in the last, say, 5,000 years, I saw some of the history of just even the origin or path, if you will, of just the name of the hue, that name of God that we use in chanting to bring ourselves into that greater alignment and that frequency of loving. That in this experience, I saw a list of many different continents and nations upon which the hue is traveled, so to speak, in a journey through the physical world. And it brought me back about 5,000 or 6,000 years ago to China. And I thought that was interesting because if you even look in language today in China, how many names that people even have with the hue, H-U. So it's just fascinating to me when I begin to see the true ancientness and history of this pathway, that it's always been here and you can recognize it throughout history from all the different writings that have always been upon the planet where it has been written down. Believe me, what has been written down is so small, it's just a minuscule tip of the iceberg of what's been put out there or what's been taught over all the years. There are so many teachers that we have no awareness of in history. We just hear the main ones, let's just say, that have had the best publicity or have become a little more popular. But it's funny because a lot of even their popularity or publicity has come about at certain periods in history where there's also great change upon the planet. And it's always at those points of great change that we find out and hear more about. And so we hear more of the names because those names are recorded in history. But yet there's so much more that's never been recorded. That truly to know that greater history, we literally have to go inside into the inner realms, into the spirit, to really to begin to wake up to the truth of how we've been all walking this journey, this pathway home to God. There is that action of the flow of spirit down and out into the world, that which has been moved into creation, into expression. So the soul's journey of coming into being and into expression through all the different aspects of God. And we find ourselves now in history at this place called time and space. And those souls that are ready to return, to walk back, to make that journey home, are simply those that God draws to this pathway of liberation, to take initiation, to begin the journey back inside, back through the realms of spirit, back home to God. So I find it fascinating that really the journey always is and always has been and always will be an inner journey. But yet even the historical movement through history physically of that lineage, of that pathway, as it has moved about the planet through different teachers, And the reason being is that often those teachers that come out of the heart of God, their true mission really is to bring those souls home that are ready to go home. But at times, there are also the outer actions of service to assist this planet in its evolution in this historical period where there's been great change, just as we find ourselves now. But if you look through history, there's always been times or ages where there's been great change. And so once again, we find ourselves walking in the sense how they say history repeats itself. In truth, the journey's not changed, just the names and the faces, that's all. The details, that's all. But sometimes listening, discovering, seeing even the physical history of this pathway can assist the soul in its return journey. Because often, many of you here today have walked this journey already, have been initiated in other lifetimes. And so sometimes as you discover, read, and hear about the history of the pathway, you actually begin to tap into that inner knowing of where you've done this before, where you've chosen to be initiated, to begin the journey, to return home. And often when we find ourselves being drawn to certain things in the world, that's often the reason, is so that we, in a sense, tap back in to the past, to the history, so that we pick up where we've left off. Not that we get caught up in the past and try to relive the past, but so that we regain or remember that sense of connection of where we've journeyed before and where we continue to journey now and where it is that we're moving. Because often we can learn from those experiences of the past to assist us in our journey now. So in a sense, we don't make the same mistakes, even though we know they weren't truly mistakes, but so that we remember the learning, that we stand solid in what we know, so that we can continue to know that which we have yet to learn, those unfinished karmas, those experiences we're yet to have, so that we continue to grow and liberate ourselves, that we as soul truly return home. It is simply a journey of awakening, that all we have to do is walk through all of our experiences on every level. Physically, live your life. Do your life. Don't avoid that which inside of you you resist. Walk into it. Do it. Meet the fear. Meet the challenge face to face, because that's where your lessons are. And the sooner you allow yourself to meet those challenges, to confront and to walk through the fears, the judgments, the expectations, the sooner your journey home will be completed. And then there's a journey through the realms, the astral realm, the causal realm, the mental realm, the etheric realm, and into soul. That's a journey similar to walking our physical journey, but that journey is walked inside. As you practice, as you do the meditation, that's how you walk that journey. And often you'll experience it even as if you were walking down a physical road. You may find yourself in a dream, in an out-of-body experience, or simply right at the seat of the soul as you're meditating, walking down a road, walking through a land or a country, walking through the experience of a park or a building. You may find yourself walking alone or with the teacher right by your side, or at times with other souls, other people along this pathway. But all you have to do is continue walking. Continue the journey. That's it. It's always just a movement, an expression of loving. So the more you allow yourself and give yourself the freedom to do the walk, the inner walk especially, but also the outer walk, that you'll come to those points, those junctions or places in the road upon which you'll recognize that you've experienced before, that you'll have a sense of knowing, you know, the deja vu type of experience. It's where you've been before. You know this place. You've been here before. As you find yourself moving into those types of experiences, know that upon this path, as you've taken initiation, what does that mean? It means that you are simply walking through the experiences to be complete. You're completing this journey in the realm of time and space. You're completing. And in that completion, you're going to walk through those things that you've done before that seem familiar so that they're done. That which you've put into motion that we call karma, cause and effect, you simply, in a sense, are retracing your footsteps to clean up, to finish, to complete, to truly learn the fulfillment, that which you've put into motion, into creation for your own soul's learning and experience. So that you, as God, come into knowing of God's self. It really is a simple journey. So keep focused on the simplicity. Keep focused on just moving in that loving. Always bringing your attention to the loving. If you don't have inner experience, if you don't see or hear a thing, it doesn't matter. Because truly, as you give your attention to the divine within, there is a part of you that is still awakening. You simply are not aware of it yet. That's all. Just not yet. But pay attention. Because over time, you do become more and more aware. Maybe it only begins as a simple awareness of a presence on the top of your head. Maybe you just feel a little bit of a sensation. Know that that's it. Allow that to continue simply to expand and awaken. And as the soul within knows its own path, it helps, in a sense, to bring forward the inner experience that you and the physical consciousness can begin to awaken and become more aware of that inner light, of the inner sounds, of that movement of God's loving. That's really the simplicity. So no matter how much you get caught up in your own experience or listening to other people's experiences or going into the past or reading history, use it all to your advantage. Use it all as an opportunity to support yourself, to realize the greater truth of how you've already as soul been walking this pathway for a long, long time. And now you are simply waking up to the knowing of that truth. So explore, enjoy the exploration, enjoy the discovery, inwards and outwards. You know, we make CDs and books available so you get more familiar, that you have, in a sense, a mental understanding of this process. Even books that can show the history. A lot of them we know that are scripture that have been written out there. I know it's confusing at times to try to decipher what really is the meaning, what really has been spoken by a true teacher, and what has man, in a sense, glossed or over or changed. Don't get caught up in the words. Just allow the words to support you in your own journey of discovery of that truth within. Because you have to come to a point where you go beyond the words. You lay down the books. You stop listening to the outer and you start listening to the inner. Go inside. Go inside. If you're an avid reader, continue doing that. But have the discipline to close that book and now meditate upon the spirit within, that you begin to wake up, to see, to read your own book of life, your soul's journey through this creation and back home into the heart of God. That book of life is the greatest book you could ever read, and it's real. But for you to see it and to know it, you've got to make the journey to where it resides. And that is in the soul realm. So you've got to make the journey beyond the Akashic records. That's astral and causal. Go beyond those records that only record the history upon this planet. Go beyond to the records of spirit, your own book of life, your soul's journey. And once you read that book, you as soul will truly awaken to the greater knowing of who you are and why you've been, and where you're going. That's a great journey. And then you begin to realize there truly has been, in a sense, no history. Nothing to record, nothing to track. It's all just been an experience in the here and now. The awakening is complete. The journey is fulfilled. The book of life is completed. And then we begin the greater journey. The journey home to God. The journey home through the realms of spirit. That we as soul not only know ourselves as a divine essence, that divine spark of God, but that divine spark that we are begins now the journey to the greater awakening, to the greater knowing, back into the true oneness that we as soul once again merge into, wake up, and become one with God. That which is the true divine living loving essence. That which is God. It's funny because I came to a moment of like, okay, once you get home to God, now what? You know, the history of this pathway is just so magnificent. And I'll have to admit, it's fun to read. I've enjoyed reading and discovering the lineage, the different teachers and masters. But you know what's been more fun? Is when you begin to meet those teachers and masters on the inner realms of spirit. That's a lot more fun than reading about them. And why am I saying this right now? Because I know if I give you a little carrot, you're going to want it. That's how it worked for me. How I've listened to Jim and other spiritual teachers upon this path, have read the different books. That reading inspires me. That inspiration I found so valuable because it began to create the longing, the wanting, that greater desire beyond all desires to once again return and experience for myself. And it first started out of just wanting to see the masters on the inner levels. I wanted to have the experience, the phenomenon. Sure, they talked about reuniting with God, but, you know, that seemed like something too foreign. I wanted to have simply the experience of seeing the Master in spirit, experiencing that which I've heard about. For a time, I wanted to be a great channeler and a psychic that I could share and talk about all those things. But really, I just wanted the inner experience. And I have found that that's where the greatest fulfillment is through the inner experience. Not through the sharing, not through trying to get attention about the inner experience, but through the inner experience itself. And hearing about that has always been the greatest motivation for me, to inspire me, to get me moving, to do the meditation practice so that I wake up and know for myself. And then the other part began to awaken. Because as the teachers within began to bring me into that greater knowing of myself, then in the realm of soul, that greater merging into the self takes place. And as that's taken place, then that desire for all those inner experiences and phenomena and knowing the teachers within actually begins to dissolve, because you begin to know that you as soul are one and the same. That you literally merge into this beingness, this presence. Because that beingness and presence is that essence of loving that is God. It is what we call the Word made flesh. The Word in truth, the Word in essence, the sound, the voice of God, the inner light. It's all one and the same, all in that movement of the master form, the master teacher, the radiant form of the Holy Spirit. That's the truth and being, not the individual, but that river of loving that is that very essence of God in expression. But as we move into and follow that radiant form of the teacher within, that often appears as the individual, but often not. Sometimes a radiant form. Often we speak of it as the purple or blue light or a golden white light. But also, know that at times it may seem to show up, or should I say not seem to show up, because you may have awareness of nothing. Or maybe you even get out of body, and yet you don't see this radiant form. But if you pay close attention, you will become aware at some point of a divine essence, a divine presence that is always with you. That also is the radiant form. So many times I've had inner experience and I've not seen the teacher, the radiant form, or purple or blue light, and find myself, Lord knows where, in some spiritual realm. But I always know to look for the greatest light or to look for the teacher inside. But at times I do, I find nothing. Nothing. And I feel like, how can this be? Where is the support? I thought there's always the guidance and the protection always with me. And this went on for years. But then after years of this going on, I realized, my God, I keep having inner experience. I keep waking up more and more. I'm more and more aware of that divine, loving presence. So something's going on even when I'm not aware of it. And as I began to literally, inside of myself, consciously shift my thinking or awareness that maybe there's other greater possibility that I simply have not allowed myself to yet experience, that when I began, in a sense, to look at it differently, I, within myself, created the space by which the new opportunities and new experiences could begin to show up. And they did. They began to show up. I once again began to wake up yet more. And that's when I began to become aware that even when it seemed nobody was with me in spirit, inside, that I began to become aware of this divine presence, a radiance, a glowing white light that was always present. And when I really relaxed and moved more and more into complete state of surrender, I began to become more aware that there was always this presence that was moving me. Even at the times I thought I was the one moving myself, I discovered that in truth I was being moved along, all along, by that divine presence. And over time, I became more and more aware of it. And the more I did, the more I relaxed. The more I surrendered and became vulnerable to that movement of God's loving. So I'm saying to you, try it yourself. Find out for yourself. Relax. Become vulnerable. Become receptive. Even when you're not aware or think you're not aware, begin to allow yourself to perceive differently. To even make effort at looking at your own journey differently, so that you begin to discover how that divine loving essence of God that you are, that you've always been, has been that which has been, in a sense, moving you along your path of life on every level, and always has been at all times, in all ways. It's just an amazing process. But we've got to allow ourselves, we've got to make the effort to change our perception, because in that is how we take responsibility for our own creations, that we begin to create the space, create the opportunity by which we can awaken to that greater knowing. If we're not willing to make any changes or effort to at least have the possibility of seeing it differently, we hold ourselves entrapped in bondage. We ourselves allow that. We ourselves create that. So you have the responsibility to create your own truth, your own reality. In truth, you don't create it. It already is. But in this realm of time and space, this land of reflection, of illusion, that there is the sense that we create the separation. So begin to uncreate that sense of separation. Begin to create the connection, the greater oneness. Even if you don't have a clue of what it is, just within yourself, say, Lord, I am open to new experience, to new ways of being, to new ways of looking, to new ways of doing. Take action. Do things differently, even physically. Even physically, putting on your pants. If you normally put in the left leg first, put in the right leg first. Start to create, even in your physical consciousness, different ways of doing. Because as you do that, that will begin to create the interchanges that you begin to do different imaginatively. You'll begin to even do different emotionally. Because as you put your other leg in the other side, it's going to feel strange. Have you done that yet? I've actually been playing with this the last several weeks. It actually feels strange. Physically, it's different. But then even it'll begin to create other shifts mentally and emotionally because you literally have to think differently. But that thinking differently begins to shift your consciousness out of the habitual patterns of what you've been doing that have been keeping you stuck or in bondage where you feel hopeless, like nothing changes. So begin in the simplest ways, even in that silly little example, to find ways to do things different even physically. But know as you're doing those different things physically that what you're truly after is not the physical change, but the attitude change. And I say attitude rather than spiritual because the spirit is always the same. It's just loving and expression. Where the attitude is really more that conscious awareness part of self that either opens the doors or shuts the doors to allow us to awaken to the greater truth of the spiritual self, the soul. So realize the differences, that you really can create the change in the most simple ways, that you begin to open the doors through your attitude within you to allow the greater shift, to allow the spiritual awakening, that you as soul really begin to wake up because in a sense you unlock the locks. You open the doors through your actions, that you wake up, that you know the divine. That's you as soul taking the greater responsibility to become the co-creator. You have complete freedom to create what you will. So create what it is you really want. What is it you're really after? Maybe you need to get clear inside of yourself. What is it I'm truly seeking? What is it I truly desire and long for? Even if you think it's something physical, that's okay. But go beyond that. Go beyond even that which you desire physically. Begin to go to the greater depth, the greater longing of what's underneath all of that. What is it that you, a soul, are truly seeking for? And let that lead the way. Because as you begin to look, it will begin to reveal itself. As you begin to seek, you'll begin to see. As you begin to take the action steps, the doors will begin to open. You have the keys and the tools. Lots of them, maybe too many. Maybe it's called simplify. Get back down, or really to say get back in to simply loving God. Chanting the sacred names, the keys to the kingdom. Simplify. Let that be the sole source of your journey. Because when you let it be that way, the source of who you are, a soul, truly comes awake and alive, that you come into the knowing of that beingness of who you are. And that journey does become even more simple. And the greater journey home just reveals itself automatically, naturally, organically, because it just already is. I like that answer. Just because. Why? Because it is. It is the way it is just because it is. Play with that one for a while. Why not? You play with that and you do it enough. Sure, you'll drive yourself crazy for a little while, but eventually you'll get beyond the crazies, because what is it that's going crazy when you don't allow yourself the simplicity? All that which is of the world, of the mind, the emotions, imagination, and body, that thinks it needs to be so busy in creating all this complexity to feel like it's doing something, to get something out of what it's creating. The more you do, the more you feel like you're earning or getting something. And you think, because that's the way of the world, that's the way you think, you're going to wake up to God. Well, it's not. Give it up. Give up the complexity. Give up all the activity, the doing, the pushing, the efforting. Give it up. But where do you give it up? Give it up to God inside. Give it up to God inside. Go inside. You have to go inside if you're going to give it up to God inside. Go inside. Go in. Meditate. Get in touch with the God within so that you can give up all the complexities and elements of the world, that you begin to know that as you give these things up, you'll begin to know that greater essence of loving. Because as you give it up, it is a movement. It is you now taking action and responsibility for your creations and now putting that into motion to bring it to completion, to free yourself. In that action, there is a movement of loving, of giving it up. I forgive it up to God. That's a movement of you loving a soul, giving all this stuff up. And it's funny when you say give up. That's why I'm doing this with my hands, raising them up. That's giving you the direction by which you, a soul, are moving into and towards in your great longing to that greater unification once again. Because truly you know within you all these things that have separated you from God, that have created that sense of separation where you no longer feel the connection, that you know that connection, that you experience that oneness that in truth you know is somewhere in there. But this is the way to get there. To give it up. Give it up to God. It's like priming the pump. When you put it into motion, then the greater movement, the greater motion comes to you. And then you get to ride that. You get to simply ride that river of loving. Giving it up is you taking the responsibility and you stepping into that river so that the river can now carry you back to its origin, back to where it comes from, the very heart of God. I'm really enjoying this today. I don't know what else to say. I'm just kind of in that place of loving, so I'm going to let Jim go ahead and continue.
Well, the action of giving up is quite quite a wonderful place to be. And I'm sure many of us along the path of this lifetime have been to those points of our lives where we just said, okay, I give up. I quit. I'm not going to do this anymore. And yet, in the next minute, we haven't given up. We're still doing it. We're still running the same old pattern. And so what is it to really give up? What happens that we finally do reach that place where we do give up? To me, giving up is complete vulnerability. We finally come to that place within ourselves where we say, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever your wish is, whatever your will is, whatever your desire for me is, let it be, and I will just move with you. Complete vulnerability, that place of giving up, is something we reach only when we have attempted to do everything in our power. And we think that we can figure it out. We think we can overcome it. We think we can do it ourselves. We think we don't need anybody else to do it. And that's anything in life, including our spiritual journey. There is that attitude within the ego, within the mind, that says, I'll do it myself, thank you. And that starts out very early on in our conscious life in this physical form. If you've ever had children, especially as they move into their teen years, there is that attitude of, would you leave me alone? I'll do it myself. I'll do it my way. You don't know what you're talking about. And there has to be that point where each of us have to come in ourselves to that place of knowing that I can do it myself, and to create that attitude for ourselves, and to take strength and to stand in the strength of the knowing of ourselves at this level of the physical, emotional, mental self. That is the only way that we can begin to claim our own power, our own authority, our own identity, and begin to have our own true experience in the physical world. We have to be able to claim that in order to move forward in that which we've claimed to have experience here. And so for many weeks, months, years, we go through life with the attitude of, nope, I'll do it myself. And through that attitude, we have a lot of experience. And some of them are very successful, wonderful experiences. And some of them are pretty miserable, unhappy, unjoyful experiences. But through it all, we are learning. We are learning about how the self makes decisions, makes choices, makes movements. And if we are paying real attention, we begin to also realize that as we do it ourselves, we can make course corrections. We can do things differently. We can change our destiny, our life, and its situation. But it's up to us to stay present and awake in that. And for most people, we don't. In that attitude of I'll do it myself, there is a place in there where we give up. We give up to our hopelessness. We give up to the helplessness. We give up to I don't know what to do. We give up. And then we wander through life. We don't do it ourselves. We let the world push us around. We let the world create for us our life rather than us doing it for ourselves.